The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, here in the Lutheran Church, we're not so accustomed to the kind of preaching where the congregation's invited to participate and give the preacher an amen or some kind of response, right? But this week, and maybe in the future, I think we ought to try that out a little more. So you're in a safe place, you're at home, among loved ones, maybe. No other Lutherans around to give you the stink eye when you open your mouth when the preacher's talking. So I want to try something. Just humor me. When I say, "This is the day the Lord has made," I want you to say it with me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can we try that? Let's try it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We need those words in our bones. We need those words in our bodies. Because there are a lot of words floating around right now in the newspapers and in social media and on news cycles. Words like insurrection and impeachment. Words like chaos, mob, and treason. And those are important words. But sometimes I think in the middle of so many important words rushing around us, it can be hard to find our words. It can be hard to find our voices as the people of God in the midst of so much confusion. So these are our words. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I think we need to practice those words, to rehearse them, and put them in our bodies for just such a time as this. Because, and I don't say this lightly, what a hell of a week this has been. And when I say hell, I mean hell. It's not an exaggeration or a turn of a phrase. We don't have to look hard to see hell on display this week. For me, it started on the steps of an ELCA church on Wednesday morning. Wednesday, Epiphany Day, the day of our Lord's Epiphany. Wednesday started with reports from an ELCA congregation in Washington, D.C., where ELCA bishops and pastors and ecumenical and interfaith leaders were gathering outside on the steps of Luther Memorial ELCA Church in D.C. And these people had been gathering to pray together for peace and nonviolence, knowing full well of the storm that was gathering around them. And as this prayer vigil continued, these faith leaders gathered there were interrupted violently by some of the same people who would later storm the Capitol building. This mob that had been incited to violence came to this ELCA church to intentionally disrupt the prayer of these peacemakers. And Metro DC's bishop, Lalo Ortiz, reported later that this mob barged through their prayer, took their place on the steps of the church under a Black Lives Matter sign and next to a Martin Luther statue. And members of this mob proceeded to reenact, gruesomely reenact the murder of George Floyd in mockery of his death, in mockery of their prayers for peace and justice. So when I say hell, I mean hell. What a hell of a day. Make no mistake, those who would mock a man's murder on the steps of a church during a prayer vigil, I just don't think there's any other word for it. And sometimes as Lutherans, we can be as avoidant of that word hell as we are saying amen during a sermon. We want to talk about grace. And boy, would I rather be talking about grace right now. But I think in order to get to grace, we have to name what is in front of us. We have to name what our eyes are witnessing in truth. We can't gloss over this. We saw the forces of hell and division on full display this week. And that force, that hell, can feel so dark. It can drive us to cynicism and despair. And I'll tell you, hell's greatest weapon is telling us to give up. So this is why we practice these words. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So the question is, how do we get to grace? How do we get to the other side of this? And I think today our gospel is really clear. We go into the wilderness because there's something waiting for us in the wilderness. You know, probably, I'm guessing it feels a little stilted or funny to say, let us rejoice and be glad in it after I say this is the day. But if it does, then it's time to go to the wilderness. Because what's waiting for us in the wilderness is the certainty of those words, the authenticity of those words, the truth that creation belongs to God. There is power in that truth. And make no mistake, this is a wilderness moment for our country. And we share this with the Gospel of Mark. When John the Baptist and Jesus and the whole countryside around Jerusalem were called into the wilderness, do we think they went there for a holiday? No, as citizens of the Roman Empire, they knew hell firsthand. It's not long before John will be arrested for his part in resistance to that, in his testifying to the light of God. So in heading into the wilderness with John and Jesus and all of Judea, we remember that those forces of hell are not anything new in the life of the church. After his baptism today, Jesus will go on to meet demons and ghosts. He'll cast out spirits of hurt and heartache. And at one part of the gospel, which is my favorite part, he actually just tells the demons to shut up already. But it starts in the wilderness. And this is where we've been called today. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There's always danger in the wilderness, though. As we see in the Old Testament, it's in the wilderness that the people of God have always been at the most potential, at their most high potential for straying from God. It's in the wilderness that we're dangerously confronted with the possibility of wandering away or hiding ourselves, right? Think of the Israelites fashioning a golden calf out in the wilderness. It can be a dangerous and tempting place. And I think there's danger in this wilderness too, that we might quickly or too quickly desire let our desire for unity lead us so that we eject accountability, or that we might be consumed in vengeance, that we can't reach unity, or that we might let the powers of division continue to just rip us up into oblivion. This is a wilderness moment. I mean, never before has the Confederate flag been flown inside the Capitol building, not even during the Civil War were those defenses breached. This symbol of hate and white supremacy, it's never reached the innermost sanctity of our democracy until Wednesday. So if there was any doubt about white supremacy on Tuesday, on Thursday, I think it's hard to deny. And that's where we've been called, into the wilderness. Because there's something unexpected waiting for us in the wilderness. And I think when the people of the Judea and John the Baptist, maybe, I gotta wonder when they saw this unexpected thing happen in the wilderness, whether they weren't just a little bit disappointed with what they found there. I mean, in the face of the empire of oppression and hell, do you think you think that they would hope for an army or something to come out and save them? And instead, they get a dove. A dove. But that disappointment would be wrong, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That same breath of God descending out of heaven is the same breath that moved over the waters. This is the same breath of creation. This is the same breath of God that called the dark night and the light day. This is the same breath of God that brooded over the deep waters in the beginning. And I'll tell you, hell ain't got nothing on that. The best that hell can do is muster up some division. The best that hell can do is mock and scoff and divide some tough guys sitting at Nancy Pelosi's chair. Hell can't create. It only destroys. That's the best that it can do. So waiting for us in the wilderness is the spirit of life and creation and renewal itself, calling us as the people of God into the work of righteousness and creation, justice and peace, calling us to become partners in creation with that breath on our lips. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's not the day I would choose, but it's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the most mysterious thing is that there in the center of this unexpected wilderness gift, there at the center of this holy breath is the word, beloved. Beloved. In you, people of God, in you I delight. You are mine. You belong to me, beloved. So, beloved children of God, we didn't ask for this, but we find ourselves in the wilderness. But it's in the wilderness that we hear the truth of who we are more clearly than anywhere else. And like so many generations before us who have ventured into the wilderness, that word, beloved, will sustain us as the torrents of hell and division do their best to crash around us. This word, beloved, is our hope. It is our courage. It is our refuge. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.